In a December 1963 speech at Western Michigan University, Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. declared, "I'm about convinced now that there is a need for a new organization in our world." His proposal, as it turned out, was at least a bit tongue-in-cheek. You see, he was calling for the creation of what he named the International Association for the Advancement of Creative Maladjustment. The International Association for the Advancement of Creative Maladjustment. King acknowledged, we all want the well-adjusted life. But he continued, there are certain things in our nation and in the world which I'm proud to be maladjusted. And he added, which I hope all people of goodwill will be maladjusted. Proud to be maladjusted. That is, in one way of reading it, the story of Hanukkah. Before the lighting of the menorah, the singing of the songs, the spinning of the dreidel, or the eating of potato latkes, this observance is actually rooted in a brutally rebellious tale of maladjustment. It's full of conquest and colonizing, revolutionaries and resistance, fighting and killing, blood and gore. There are no unsullied good guys in this story. The seemingly better people in this tale still end up doing some pretty awful things. You have to go looking for this saga. It's not in the Hebrew Bible at all. It's found in the book of the Maccabees, a Jewish text from a couple of centuries before the Common Era. That basic outline is then expanded in the Talmud, a Jewish text from the first few centuries of the Common Era. It's an account with some historical veracity, creatively crafted into a wild religious tale. Here's the setting. Following Alexander the Great's widespread conquest, Greek culture dominated the Mediterranean and the Middle East. It was a powerful and powerfully influential monolith. An early attempt to dictate for much of the world the way things are supposed to be. We might even say it was a Greek attempt to make the world great again. In many ways, this Hellenizing influence was a positive thing. Arts, philosophy, science all flourished. There was a widespread appeal to the values of reason and individual conscience. Often the standard of living was raised. In Palestine, many Jews accepted these developments, adopting and adapting to the ways of Greek culture. However, as is so often the case, conformity, accommodating this dominating force, came at a very high price. Their beloved temple was defiled, an altar to Zeus erected in their most holy place. Wealth was confiscated. The practice of their religion was forbidden, and capital punishment stood as the daunting threat to all who dared to disobey. In 167 BCE, in the outlying little village of Modin, certain faithful Jews, led by their priest Mattathias, had had enough. The priest sees a fellow Jew, a local townsperson, sacrificing at a Greek altar. And in a rage, Mattathias kills him. Now, as is said, it was on. Mattathias and his five sons flee to the hills where the old priest dies. His sons take up the cause of resistance led by the youngest, Judah, Judah Maccabee, known as the Hammer. Their revolt against this colonizing imposition of foreign control spread, confronting Jews with a difficult choice. They could either continue to be acculturated into the monolith that was the Greek culture, or they could join the Maccabees in the resistance, standing against the powers that be. This was more than just a revolt against an occupier. It was a civil war, a battle for the hearts and minds of the Jews. Would they continue to drift toward assimilation into Greek culture, or would they hold true to their own particular values? Now, there was a zeal about these Maccabees that got out of hand at times. In heroically striving to defend their views and their values, they engaged in brutality. I warned you, anyone wanting an absolutely pure morality tale had best look elsewhere. This one is just too, well, it's too realistic for that. Judah Maccabee leads the revolutionaries into Jerusalem, where they recapture their temple. They purge it of Greek influence in a ritual purification, and 3 years after it was so egregiously defiled, the Jews gather to rededicate their temple. Hanukkah comes from the word to dedicate or consecrate. Since both Moses and Solomon had 8-day dedications for their sacred sites, it was determined that this Hanukkah, this dedication, should also last for 8 days. As a part of the ritual, their sacred candelabrum was kindled. But it was supposed to burn only with the purest of oil, a day's supply of which was available. And yet, this is the part we're likely to actually know, the lamp mysteriously continued burning for 8 days as throughout Jerusalem a grand celebration was held. Beginning again this week, Jews the world around will light one of the 8 candles in the menorah each night of Hanukkah, calling to mind that time when a war was waged against the perennially seductive inclination to become adjusted to the ways of the powers that be. Those Maccabees, the members of the resistance movement, were, in Martin Luther King's words, proud to be maladjusted to the ways of the Greeks. This was not the popular position, was not the prudent position, but it proved to be the transformative position. The real miracle of Hanukkah, according to Rabbi Michael Lerner, wasn't the light that burned for a full 8 days. The miracle of Hanukkah, he writes, is that so many people were able to resist. To resist the overwhelming reality imposed by the imperialists. The miracle of Hanukkah, Lerner believes, is that they were able to stay loyal to a vision of a world based on generosity, love of stranger, and loyalty to an invisible God who promised that life could be based on justice and peace. My friends, today for us, in these challenging times, the good news, the sustaining news, the encouraging news is there are always, always Maccabees willing to resist the Greeks. There are always those who reject the way things are supposed to be and proceed to forge a new way, to create a way where there was no way. They're always artists whose creativity overspills the bonds of what is normative, and whose paintings and films and photographs and other creations invite us to see and experience the world in new ways. They're always writers, novelists, and journalists, and poets, and researchers whose work belies predetermined norms and whose words challenge us to rethink, re-examine, revise, redo. They're always musicians who push the boundaries, who sing the forbidden songs, who sing the provocative songs, who sing the songs that the censors tried to suppress, whose creative capacities fit no known genre, and whose impulses challenge and dismantle while catapulting us forward. There are always teachers and social workers, therapists and attorneys, ministers and medical workers, activists and their co-conspirators, women, and trans folks, and people of color who refuse to accept that the way things have been and the way things are determine the way things have to be. Today, let us be mindful of this miracle. There are always Maccabees in our midst who refuse, who resist, who revolutionize a world that the Greeks are trying to keep in place. Rabbi Michael Lerner calls out these Maccabees in elucidating the spiritual message of Hanukkah. What inspires and sustains all the Maccabees of our time? Lerner says this same radical hope, whether rooted in religion or secularist belief systems, remains the foundation for all who continue to struggle for a world of peace and social justice at a time when the champions of war and injustice dominate the political and economic institutions of our own society, often now with the assistance of their contemporary cheerleading religious leaders. Just when the Greeks are convinced that they have won the day, along come some new Maccabees to disrupt their ways. Always. This week, following the disturbing message from our president regarding Israel and Jerusalem, Faith-filled Jews in the organization, if not now, began immediately staging protests at the hotels that bear his name. Offered the pandering power of a president who supports the occupiers and their ways of oppression and apartheid toward the Palestinians, these Jews, contemporary Maccabees to be sure, are rising up to say, no, no. To this contemporary Greek monolith, these activists have said unequivocally, we seek to end American Jewish support for the occupation. The occupation is a system of violence and separation by which Israel denies Palestinians freedom and dignity by depriving them of civil, political, and economic rights. The occupation is a daily nightmare for those who live it, and it is a moral disaster for those who support it and who administer it. Yes, my friends, in the darkest of days, the light still shines. Held in the hands of all modern day Maccabees. So today, drink from the well of an ancient story and restore your souls. Sustain your souls. History's witness is this. We humans, collectively, cannot ultimately be controlled, coerced, cannot be conscripted. The indomitable human longing for freedom cannot be suppressed by the greatest of Greeks or by the most cynical, immoral, sexist, abusive politicians. Just when the forces of this evil seem most impenetrable, always, always, along comes some newborn Judah Maccabee to say all over again, I am proud to be maladjusted. So today, this week, in these difficult times, light one candle for the Maccabee children with thanks that their light didn't die. Light one candle for the pain they endured when their right to exist was denied. Light one candle for the terrible sacrifice justice and freedom demand. But light one candle for the wisdom to know when the peacemaker's time is at hand. Light one candle for the strength that we need to never become our own foe. And light one candle for those who are suffering pain we learned so long ago. Light one candle for all we believe in, that anger not tear us apart. And light one candle to find us together with peace as the song in our hearts. We have come this far always believing that justice will somehow prevail. This is the burden. This is the promise. And this is why we will not fail. Oh, how challenging are these days. How difficult. How often so dispiriting. Oh, how far removed we may feel from the world as we long for it to be. But my friends, take heart. Don't let the light go out. It's lasted for so many years. Don't let the light go out. Let it shine through our hope and our tears. Let it shine through our hope and through our tears. Amen. Ashe. Oh, may it be so.